Welcome to this special edition of the Faith Element Podcast for the April 23rd, 2017 session, focusing on Psalm 16, Sheol and the Pit. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Darian Duckworth.
I'm Aaron Hall.
I'm David Adams.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
This episode marks our 100th episode. Can you believe it?
Yeah!
Yay! Streamers, confetti, yay!
And I will say, when we began this podcast, we actually did it as an experiment. We weren't sure if anybody would really be interested in hearing us.
Or interesting,
that's right. We didn't know if anybody would really care to listen to us carry on about the text each week and tell our stories. But in fact, we have grown an audience, and we value each of you deeply who listen to us each week and appreciate your support and look forward to what's going to be coming in the coming months and years with Faith Element. And as you could tell, in celebration of this special episode, we've invited all of our regulars to join us. So, beyond me and Nikki and Daniel and Bert, we have Darian Duckworth back with us and Aaron Hall. And David Adams.
Yay!
Yay.
Hey.
So, and just because our viewers can't see us, we're all holding stuffed animals because somehow that makes us happy on this occasion.
It's true. It's true.
No, actually, we have a great deal of fun recording each week. And I think even if no one listened, we'd still do this.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, we do have a lot of fun here together, and some of us joke that this is our church, but in the midst of all this joking, are we not going to talk about the big news though?
Yeah. Well, let me jump in.
We
got to
talk about it.
I am a graduate of the Baptist Seminary of Kentucky, class of 2007. Started my very first year, and we have a brand new president at Baptist Seminary of Kentucky in Georgetown, and that is none other than David Cassidy. And we're just thrilled.
Yay, David.
Yay, David. Welcome, my new president. Which is, I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
Oh, well, thank you. It is truly a great honor to be associated with the community that is at BSK. It's a great group of people. And what I have been amazed by most is the love of the church that I sense from everybody there, from the students to the faculty to the staff and the trustees and the supporters, but especially the alumni who have moved on and are working in churches and organizations and
podcasts.
And podcasts, that's right, and doing good things. So it's really, I think, going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to what's going to be created together there.
But David, not to steal any of your thunder here, but I wonder if any of our listeners would be interested in, does this mean you're gone from us here on the podcast?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. By all means, no. Not only did I want to continue with this because it's such an important thing for me personally, every couple of weeks we get together to record, and frankly, we've become great friends here on the podcast, but also what we're doing, I think, is very important. And I was very excited to hear that the search committee and those that were involved at BSK were very excited about the things that we do here on the podcast and supportive of it. So, yes, we'll be continuing and looking for what we can do to make the podcast even better for you in the future. Well, thank you for that that chance to share a little about my personal life. Bert, we've got a psalm here. It's the Sunday after Easter. Can you help us get started with it?
Well, I'll try. When I opened it up to read Psalm 16, the first thing that really struck me was, or the thing that jumped out at me, when you pray, when you read the scriptures as they in the church tradition of Lectio Divina, where you read it slowly and listen to it three times for something to glisten, for something to shine, to something to jump out at you. Well, the very first time I read it, the very first thing that jumped out at me was the title that you've named it for, Sheol and the Pit, because that is taken from verse 10. Where the prayer is, you did not give me up to Sheol, you let your faithful one see the pit. Eugene Peterson says, you've canceled my ticket to hell. Can I say hell? And the reason I said that is because growing up a Baptist in a good Baptist home, we didn't say H-E double hockey sticks. So in my record collection, I always replaced H-E double hockey sticks with Sheol. So when I bought Kiss's second album, it was Hotter Than Sheol. When I bought AC/DC, we were on the highway to Sheol. So I had a lot of fun. And of course, Ozark Mountain Daredevils, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to raise a little Sheol, you see. So that jumped out at me because I'm just kind of, you know, still stuck in my junior high years. But nevertheless, what I want to do, because Thomas Merton suggests, rather than talking about the Psalms, we need to be moving into the Psalms, letting the Psalms, because the Psalms are prayers. That's what they are. They're songs. They're songs about hell, I guess. And they're songs about for public prayer and for personal prayer. And they have been for thousands of years. So he says, let's let these become not something we talk about and analyze, but let's pray them. So what I think we should do is I'm going to read the psalm just one time, but I'm going to read it slowly. And in the Lectio Divina style, listen and let it be your prayer. Have you ever been thought that you deserve to, you know, be left in hell in the pit of Sheol, but discovered that God doesn't leave you there? Have you ever wondered about all those who've searched after other gods and realized that you're going to plant yourself with the one God? Let this be your prayer. So as I read from this Holy Scripture, listen for God's word for you. Protect me, O God. For in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, my body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So what is Sheol?
What we translate as Sheol is a little bit different now than it was originally. Originally, it was considered, and you'll see this in different passages in the Old Testament, where when you die, that's where you go. Period. That's just the place where everyone is collected.
Place of the dead.
Yeah, it is the place of the dead. Good or bad people, they all go to the same place. And there's these great passages in the Old Testament narrative where people are saying things like, don't let this person go down to Sheol with this on their head. You know, having to live with the life they've had and the bad that they've done, don't let them go to Sheol with this there. You know, clean it up before you go so you don't go through eternity in the place of the dead bearing this particular set of guilts or this particular crime on your back. You know, go cleanly because it's a much better place when you do that. Gradually it changed as we got more wisdom literature in the Old Testament and we got a little bit more towards Greek philosophy. We started separating this light and dark place and Sheol became more known for, well, yeah, good and bad people go there, but really bad people go there and they have a very much worse experience. And there's this pit they're going to toss people into when they go there. So you go down to Sheol and it's even worse for you because you got like the basement where it's just terrible. You're in the pit and there's no hope of ever getting out of the pit. And that was really kind of reflective of this emerging consensus of a separate heaven and hell that came about late in that period. I think they call that the temple period. And by the time the Bible's translated into Greek, then you have the term Hades, which is typically what we say hell. And Sheol and Hades became interchangeable. So you're looking at the Septuagint, the Bible that Jesus quoted, and Hades would be the term that they were using. And the concept of Sheol now is what we would call hell. And so it really differs depending on when the psalm was written and what was on the minds of the people at the time they were singing that particular psalm. And just given that they refer to the pit and not just Sheol as Sheol in this one, you kind of want to think that, okay, these are people who, they're not the earliest. They're somewhere in the transition when people were starting to think that, yes, there's a place for the dead, but there's an even worse place for people who are dead and are bad people.
And being that this is the second Sunday of Easter, I want to point out that, you know, Sheol pops up a few times in the Psalms, very notably in Psalm 139.
Yes.
Right? Where can I go that God is not? If I make my bed in Sheol, in the place of death itself, whether it's good and bad, but in the place of the dead itself, or in hell itself, if you want to go to the Hades translation, God is still there. And, you know, in the tradition of the Christian church, that in the days that Jesus was dead, he descended into hell, where the dead were, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you just get this whole concept that for many of us who think hell means separation from God, even in our biblical concepts of death and separation from God, God is still there.
And that's a great passage, what not even hell itself can separate us from the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very much New Testament.
I don't know about you guys. I don't know if this is where you want to go, but I have a friend recently who has shared with me just some real scary diagnosis sort of things about her children, both of her children. And she's expressed just a really hard time talking to God anymore. She's really struggling with being angry at God. And we've had good conversations. And I told her, I've been there too, especially in times of loss and times where I just really felt like I was in that pit. And she said, you know what? I've just kind of put God in time out right now. I just can't deal. And so God's in time out and God's just going to have to stay there until I can deal. And what she described was feeling very separated from God. And we just had a really good conversation about God's okay there. I just kind of reassured her that that doesn't make her a bad, she was worried about, does that make me a bad Christian? But have you guys had conversations like that, or have you felt that way?
Does anyone not feel that way at some point? There's a problem we have with the church as we have it now in this idea that nothing is ever supposed to be bad. And if something's bad, then, you know, the world isn't what it's supposed to be. And maybe it's God's fault. And God is just there to keep bad things from happening, as opposed to God being there to help us clean up when a bad thing does happen. You know, and so we all go there and we're all thinking that, oh, I'm separate from God. And, you know, I have to put God aside because God's turned God's back on me. When typically we are, it's more of us not recognizing that God is there to help pick up the pieces when we're ready to have them picked up. And, you know, there are times where sometimes the pieces are so broken, we have to let them be broke for a little while so we can grieve properly and learn to deal with it before we're ready for God to help us pick those pieces up. And maybe in that case, the time out is actually a really good idea, you know, because God will clean things up, but are we really ready for God to clean things up? And will we be happy with the way God does clean these up?
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, maybe this is a stretch, but I think this idea of feeling free to express, you know, that your friend was struggling, Aaron, with feeling free enough to express what she was really feeling. The gospel lesson for this day, traditionally for the second Sunday after Easter, is Thomas's doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, doubt seems to be a thing we don't readily admit or want to hold on to as something positive. or believe that God can work through that as well. So whether I'm conflating two issues or not, I'm not sure. But for me, I can't help but see the connection between the popular gospel lesson for this day and what we're talking about here in the Psalms.
I think doubt is very much a part of that. And it seems to be very present when anyone is in a dark sort of pit, feeling separate from God.
You know, when I was at Baylor many years ago, I was studying philosophy. And, you know, as philosophy will do, it will stretch your mind. It will cause you to think about the world and reality in ways that you may have not thought of them before, which I actually think is a very helpful thing, because we sometimes get locked into thinking that the way we see the world is the way, right? We don't realize that there might be a bigger view or perspective. And I was there in graduate school studying philosophy, and some of the ideas I was studying made me rethink the way I saw reality in the world in general, and that included God. And I truly felt an, it's weird to say, I know, but an intellectual, you know, crisis of faith, that the things that I believed and thought about how things were might not be the way. And so I was actually struggling with that. And I, at the time, Regina and I were going to Seventh and James Baptist Church, which is right there. I mean, literally, you walk off the campus of Baylor and you're at Seventh and James. And at the time, the pastor there was Dan Bagby. And Dan, I met with Dan and shared with him my struggles, and that I said, you know, I come to worship and I just feel this distance from God. And I worry that I'm having some crisis of faith. And he was very comforting. And he said, you know, this may not be the only time you have a crisis of faith, and it's okay. And he said, here's what I encourage you to do. Keep coming to worship. Keep being a part of the family of faith. And through that, God will help you work through this. And sure enough, you know, even though I would show up and couldn't do any better than sit in the very back of the church, but I was there. And over time, you know, I was able to work through things. And my faith, I think, is even stronger now that I worked through that. But had I stopped, had I abandoned the church and faith, I wonder, would I have come out on the other side or come out with a hopefully stronger faith? So for me, you know, I certainly can remember a time when I felt that darkness, that pit, that distance.
Well, and Bert, you said in the beginning about using the psalm as a prayer. And I think sometimes when I have no idea what to pray or really don't feel like praying, it's nice to have these words there to at least a place to start.
Yeah, and the Psalms will have everything you need. They'll have your anger.
Right.
They'll have your need for vengeance for someone who's hurt you, right?
Right.
It brings every human emotion. It gives it a legitimate voice in the presence of God, which many times in our churches, we don't give legitimate voice to all of our emotions to God. We try to hide. Oh, no, I would never think that. I would never say that. And God would, you know, God, I can't let God know I think. Of course, God knows you thinking this.
Right.
The psalm, so if you don't know what to say, or even if you do know what to say, don't say it. Go to the psalms and let the psalm say it for you. You know, this morning in my Intro to Religion class, I had our friend, the rabbi Seth Oppenheimer, came and talked about Judaism. And interesting, I'm not sure how he got off on this, because this is not where we were going in the discussion, but he started talking about ritual and the importance of ritual in Jewish thinking, because a lot of times you don't feel like doing something. You're not spiritually ready to receive something. You don't necessarily feel close to God or even want to be with God, like David saying he didn't want to go to church, having a crisis of faith. But ritual has you doing something simply for the sake of doing it, because you wouldn't be doing it otherwise. So you're doing it anyway, and you're doing it anyway. And eventually, by doing the ritual, then it's like priming the pump, for using an old farming term. But it gets you back to the spirituality. It connects you again with God when you're not. Because otherwise, if you're just waiting for you to feel it, you're lost. You're gone. Mm-hmm. So the Psalms could be that when you don't know what to say. Go to the Psalms and let them pray you back into. Keep going to church, David, even when you don't feel it. Just keep doing it.
I love, David, you're sharing about how the church, going to church was a ritual, and the ritual that Bert's speaking of with the Psalms, a lot of us use as liturgy, you know, just that continuing to go, continuing to participate and finding the way, particularly with church, because I know many of us have probably seen these lovely signs outside of churches about whatever the topic is for Sunday. And at least 20 times, maybe more, I've seen the title of the sermon on some of these churches, you know, along the highway being "Come to church, it'll scare the hell out of you." That's a title that I see more often than I really want to. And, and sadly, that is where a lot of us are, you know, is just wanting to find that place where we can be and where we can go through the rituals and just grow, you know, by being in the presence of God and one another in the church setting. And yet church sometimes gets the reputation of being a place that's going to scare the Sheol out of you. And as we were talking about with this passage, and church and the community of faith is so much more than that. And here on the first Sunday after Easter, it's actually the second Sunday of the Easter season, you know, the community of faith is supposed to be forming around hope and around the power of resurrection and the miracle that's occurred. And it's really refreshing to be able to read this psalm and to think and to talk about Sheol, to talk about hell, to talk about the worst that could happen, to talk about, you know, such a topic, not out of fear, but out of hope and out of confidence that even when we're not confident, that God is there.
Yeah, as I'm listening to you all talk, and as I am looking back at this passage, I'm getting the sense that the psalm is calling us to acts of fidelity. And, you know, David, you were talking about going to church even when you don't feel like it. And as you were saying that, my eyes kind of drifted to this verse in the text. It's verse 5, and it says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." And it's kind of like, this is what I've chosen. This is where I'm going. I'm going with God. One way or another, this is what I'm doing. And right above that in verse 4, it says, "Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows." So I'm kind of reading like, okay, we could go a different direction. I could, when things get hard, I could choose a different option. I could chase after something different. But the text is reminding me that that will multiply my sorrows. And so I remember that God is my chosen portion and my cup. And I find that instructive. Because I think that just like in anything that we do, whether we're talking about a new job that we love or a marriage that we have been in for a long time or life with the family we have been given or life with the family that we have chosen, it's not always perfect. It doesn't always work the way we think it's going to work. Sometimes things are hard. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we want to escape it and we don't want to be a part of it. And very much the same here with God, that it doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to work out. But choosing to remain has value. The text says, "You hold my lot." And I think we can honor that it's a risk, right? We're going to throw everything in with God and go with it. Certainly, that's a risk. But I think that the text is calling us to fidelity. Fidelity to God. Fidelity to the practice. Fidelity to the ritual. Knowing that sometimes we will not feel or experience the fruit of that, but doing it anyway.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be said for reciting that. Like, you're talking about the fidelity there, but they're stating it over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, even when you don't feel it, that you say it.
And I think that's an important word for us today. We live in a time when things don't work well. We can just get the next thing, right? Like when, when my technology stops working, well, we just assume it's all going to work about a year, maybe 2 years, and then we're going to get the next thing. We live in a world where most things that we experience are expendable. And certainly that, you know, they don't make them like they used to, whether you're talking about appliances or technology or houses, things don't last the way that maybe they used to. And unfortunately, I think that translates over into relationships and our relationship with God, that we think then that those things are expendable or replaceable. But the text says otherwise. The text says, you work it out, you stick with it, you keep going because you hold my lot. You know, God holds us. God holds all of us. And so our faithfulness to God acknowledges that this is what we've chosen and this is where we are. And I think that there's value in that. I think that it is good to learn to not jump from lily pad to lily pad. I'm mixing metaphors, I'm sorry. But this idea that we stick with where we are and we stick with it even when it's difficult or painful or hard or dark, trusting that God still holds us.
That's pretty interesting. I just finished reading an autobiography of a famous rock star, actually, and early on, he's talking about growing up in New Jersey and how everyone was Catholic, and his preschool experiences and his early school experiences really shaped him and in some ways made him very negative about the church, to where it was dark to him and not someplace he wanted to go back to. But now that he's as an adult, he's still saying, you know, I'm not really good at this. I'm not sure I feel it all the time, but I'm part of the team. This is what I know, and I'm part of this team. And even though I'm not very good at it, I still recognize that I'm part of this, and this is who I am. And accordingly, that's how I would identify myself. And for a lot of people, that might be what it is. There's something that's dark. There's something that we can't quite identify with, or something it's just not us right now. But we make a conscious choice to say, this is where I'm standing. And tomorrow I'm going to make that same choice again. And the next day I'm going to make that same choice again. And as that works out, maybe that's how faith really is defined these days.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because as I read the text, certainly the text tells us something about God. It tells us about God's fidelity to us. It tells us that God is constant and consistent with us. But I think that it says more than that. I think it calls us to something more. It calls us to continue sticking with it no matter what.
Well, thank you for this hopeful conversation, one that encourages us to have the same kind of steadfastness that we find in our own God. I'm going to close with a bit of this psalm. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May we all rest in the presence of God this day. Thank you all for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Happy 100th.
Happy 100th.
Yay. Yay. Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.